1450 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes, along with clinical assistant professor at College of Veterinary Medicine, Kansas State University, Neela Boyer, and we welcome her today. I'm going to be focusing our discussion on all kinds of summer-type things that involve dogs and cats, so get your questions ready, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. But in today's perfect timing, heat stroke is something you really have to watch, especially with your dogs.
That's right. You know, we see this, and it's something that I would reiterate one more time is, you know, it's so much fun. Dogs love to go for a ride with you out in the car, but if you have to stop somewhere, please don't leave them. We still see that, you know, the dog that gets left out there, the windows down, it doesn't matter. So those cars get so hot outside, so please don't do that. Please don't be that person that has to get called on and hopefully, you know, we just can eliminate that as a problem altogether.
And really, you are so right on that. And I know that there's things we can do maybe to help our pets, even if they're just outside in general. It can be very hot.
That's right. You know, we forget about that, too. There are certain risk factors. So most of us know about those little flat-faced dogs. They definitely have a harder time than dogs with longer noses. And so we have to be really careful with those particular breeds. Dogs that have a dark hair coat, dense hair coat. And then as they get older or have other health problems, their heart, some diseases that underlie can make it a lot harder for them to get rid of heat through panting. So people have an advantage here where when we get hot, we can sweat and get rid of that. Dogs don't do that. They pant to get rid of that heat, and that can be hard for some of them depending on their underlying health problems.
Maybe more specifically the breed you're talking about.
Yeah, so those flat-faced guys would include pugs, Boston Terriers, even the bigger dogs, some of the Mastiffs, the Bulldogs, anybody whose nose is pretty short or flat, some of the little Shih Tzus, Lhasa Apso's. Yeah, boxers would be in that risk category as well. So these guys have not only is their nose shorter, but they also usually have a narrowed airway. So their trachea, or where their air goes down, can be really narrow. They also can have a really long back of their throat. So any dog that when they rest or sleep, they make kind of a snoring noise, or a lot of them, you hear them walking from quite a distance away because they make a lot more noise as they walk around. Those are dogs that absolutely are going to have a harder time. And not only the heat, but the humidity, like we're starting to see, is a really difficult thing for them to deal with. So as they pant, they rely on that saliva and those that to exchange into the air. And so that's something that as they get hot, their saliva gets ropey and dry, and they can't exchange that as well and cool down.
Now, I know you mentioned the darker-coated dogs, and I would think long-haired dogs. We used to have a collie for years and years. And even though they shed, still. And huskies are maybe another example, too.
Sure. And so a lot of the dense coats, I mean, those coats can also keep them cool, which is kind of a strange thing. So oftentimes we leave those hair coats. We don't shave them down because that's important for them. And also they can get sunburned or sun irritation from their hair being shaved down. So in a lot of them, we don't want to change that because it connects also sort of trap the cool around their body when they have air temperatures that get hot. So we don't want to change that, but we do want to remember that. So if they're outside and they do have a really dense hair coat, especially a dark color when they're walking in the sun, you know, we know that if we'd go for a walk, we might put on something light colored if you're going to be out in the sun, but they can't do that. So we have to keep that in mind for them.
You mentioned getting sunburned. Do we need to worry about that with our dogs?
It can happen. So a lot of dogs don't sunbathe out there, but some do. And so another thing that we'll see is their paw pads. When they're walking on concrete, especially, we can see them get severely burned from the sidewalk. So, you know, that old, when you're in elementary school and you try to cook the egg on the hot sidewalk, just think about those pads without shoes on them walking across that sidewalk. It can be miserable for them, and they can get some pretty severe burns.
Are we talking sunscreen or?
Yeah, so for the skin, yeah. So dogs that have sometimes a pink nose, there are sunscreens you can buy that are minus the zinc. So the zinc can be a toxin in large quantities. So there are sunscreens that you can buy for your dog. We don't want them to ingest the ones that have the zinc in them.
And of course, obviously, keep up the flea and tick treatments at this time of year.
Incredibly important.
Ticks are really prevalent, I think.
They are very prevalent, and they can be so small that they can be hard to see, again, kind of if they have a dense hair coat, but on any of them. And we are removing ticks much of the year here in Kansas. And so we know that there are certain ticks that can live in your home all year round, so very important to keep that in mind. Many of them can't, and they're going to go away during the winter, but not all of them. So we recommend that year round. So not only can fleas and ticks be irritating, but they can certainly spread disease as well. So
in your home. Never thought about that.
Yep, there is one species of ticks that can live in the home.
Oh, that's
and reproduce.
So wonderful.
Yep.
Heat. We've talked heat stroke. Of course, it's also time when we get some thunder boomers out there. Dogs do not like thunderstorms.
No, some of them don't mind it, but a lot of them really, really don't like that. And so there's a lot of signs that they can be stressed or anxious. Sometimes it's the dog that's panting or retreating or clinging to the side. Others can become aggressive during that time. Some of them just want to go hide and they'll find the place inside. So naturally, a lot of them gravitate towards an interior room that's away from those windows. Some of them are afraid of, you know, they can hear things, they can sense things that maybe we can't sense when a storm is impending, so pressure changes in the air. Others, it's going to be the sight of the lightning, and others, it's going to be the clapping booms of the thunder. So for the individual dogs, some people begin to recognize what's fearful for their animal and adjust accordingly. So oftentimes, the first thing that I'm going to recommend is to have a microchip placed, because we see dogs that will actually get so afraid that they flee. Even when they're scared of being outside, they'll actually run out the door. I've seen dogs break through glass windows. So these are important to have them identified, because they may not have their collar on during that event. The other is to find an interior place for them. So oftentimes we try to pick an interior or the most interior room where you would go if there was a storm or a tornado. And we try to place them there, having a place that they're comfortable. That might be their kennel. That might be a closet area, wherever they feel happy and comfortable.
We do have a phone call. You'll need a set of headphones there, Neela, and welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please, your question or comment.
You may have mentioned this already, and maybe I tuned in later and missed it, but people that have outside dogs need to be reminded that those dogs need fresh, clean, cool water more than once a day.
Absolutely,
Water is very, very important to all of us, especially those little dogs out there, and I see so many dogs tied out and no water, and there ought to be an ordinance on that, too. Oh, listen, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call.
No, that's a good point and one that we need to talk about. So for a lot of us that have pets and they're going to be outside for a period of time, there's going to be certain times of the year that it's not conducive for them to be out there at all. But if they are going to be out there during times of the year and they're getting used to the warmer weather, do make sure that they've got shelter, they've got shade, they've got something to get underneath of and get out of the sun. And of course, they need to have fresh water available at all times. I've seen people use little baby pools, things like that, for the dog to get in and cool off. Those are very, very important things for them to have outside.
I know my mother was always a huge proponent of that. I mean, that water is more crucial than really anything else, especially this time of year.
It really is. And when there's a little breeze, that can be helpful because they can cool off in that way. But getting in the shade and having water available is very important. And so if you are going to be going out for an errand, do think about that. So it's really important that if you are going to be leaving them, or if you have to leave them outdoors, that you have a place for them to be.
Now, they do have the kind of automatic waters that come down. Now, it may not stay super cool is the only thing, but I suppose that's better than nothing.
Of course, you know, having water that's out there, and of course, if it's sitting out in the sunshine, it's going to get pretty darn hot, and it's not going to be very cooling for them. So think about that nice, cool water available.
Maybe shady area,
absolutely.
Just hope for the best that way.
Yep, that's right.
We talked about thunderstorms, and I mean, fireworks aren't too far behind that. We only have a few more. It's hard to believe. I don't know where the summer's already going,
but
we're pretty close to fireworks
season. It is coming up, and it's something that we're going to begin to hear. And that's also important, is that as much as we like to take the dogs out and enjoy time outside, they don't always want to be out there during fireworks. So do keep that in mind. If they seem to be showing signs of anxiety, so they're retreating, they're panting, they're clinging to you, they're withdrawing, maybe their pupils are getting big. These are guys that really don't want to be out there. So do think about that. And again, those same rules apply. Interior room, trying to reduce those sounds. In some cases, medication may be needed for these guys, whether it be something short-acting that they would use just before the event. And these generally do take some time to be effective. You can't give it in the moment that they're already panicking. So do talk to your veterinarian about those things. If you have an animal that's very afraid, they may need to be medicated during that time with a short-acting therapy. There are also some holistics or non-drug options that could be considered.
I know having grand dogs one 4th of July, it was difficult to get them to go outside and do their business,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, we see every really... year. Yep, we get calls in of people whose animals start inappropriately eliminating in the home because they're afraid to go outside. So that's really sad. And so there are things that we can do for these animals that we know that even if we're not doing fireworks, probably somebody else in the neighborhood or nearby will be, and they're going to hear it. So do think about that.
We've been focusing on the canine side of things. Yeah. What about cats? Do we have to worry about them at all?
Well, I mean, we don't see as many heat-related problems in them, but at the same time, absolutely can occur as well. So same rules apply. If you've got cats that are going outside, do think about that, or the cats that live outside. So those barn kitties, make sure that you're checking those water supplies readily for them as well, that they can have shade, that they can get cool. But they can also have the similar types of stresses as dogs. Sometimes cats are a little bit... less obvious about some of their signs of anxieties to things like storms and fireworks. A lot of them are going to do similar things, or they're going to retreat and hide and want to stay covered and buried in the home somewhere.
Anything else before we wrap up today, Neela? I think it's been very educational, very timely.
Yeah, no, I think those are the big things, is looking for those signs of stress in those pets as these times are coming, being mindful of that. I don't want to see any more dogs outside in cars sitting out there in the parking lots. Please, you know, do keep that in mind. I know they love to go for a ride, but don't leave them out there. Whether the windows are down or not, it doesn't matter. And as the gentleman brought up, it's really important to think about those outdoor pets and having shade and water and a place to go.
Neela Boyer with us today, again, clinical assistant professor, College of Veterinary Medicine, Kansas State University. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to learn about Manhattan's Juneteenth celebration very close now. Debbie Nuss and Dave Baker will be joining us. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.